Christ is risen. This weekend is the most important weekend, the most important 3 days in all of the history of all of the world. And of these 3 days, today is the one I like best. Friday was precious. We call it Good Friday. But it didn't feel good to everyone. Especially not to the disciples. The followers of Christ. Who saw their Lord and Savior on the cross. Saturday would have been a day of mourning. Day of contemplation. Trying to figure things out. Trying to make sense of what's going on. A day of confusion. For many. But Sunday, when He rose from the dead, it was a day of victory. That's the victory we will celebrate today. We come together on Easter Sunday, and it is significant that we come as a church on a Sunday. In fact, we come here every Sunday. Why is that significant? Because Christianity has its roots in the Jewish faith. And the Jews believe that we should meet on Saturdays. Why Saturday? Because it's the seventh day of the week. It's the day that God rested after creation, the day that He blessed and called holy. So if that's the case, then why are we meeting on Sundays? Because after 1500 years of Jewish law and tradition passed down from one generation to the next and woven into the fabric of their national identity, after 1500 years of worshipping on a Saturday, some Jews broke from that tradition and started to worship on a Sunday. Now, why would they do that? And what would it take for them to break from tradition and make that change? Have you ever thought about that question? If you have ever watched Fiddler on the Roof, then you would know how important tradition is in the Jewish way of life. Tevye keeps reminding everyone of tradition. So why would they make that change? Why would they even think about such a change? Unless something new and unforeseen happened. Something that had not happened for 1500 years. It had to be a new event. What would it take? It would have to be something absolutely momentous. Something that is utterly compelling and undeniable. It would have to be epic. Would rising from the dead fit that bill? Do you think that someone conquering death would fit that description? I'm not talking about someone like Lazarus who died and came back to life only to die again later. I'm talking about someone who goes into death and then goes through death into life after death, never to die again. That is what happened to Christ. And to Christ alone. To no one else before Him and to no one else after Him. It is that resurrection event that we are celebrating this morning. And the fact that the Christian church meet on Sundays is evidence of His victory over death. A victory that is available to you and to me through the person of Jesus Christ. His resurrection on a Sunday is why you and I come here on Sundays. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the evidence that we have that Jesus died and rose again. We thank you for the witness of the church who meets on Sundays to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. May that be real to us this morning as we come together in your name in this place. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Brett and Glenda and Jim performed for us In Christ Alone. And that was my request, because this morning what I would like to do is to reflect upon that song. I love the theology of that song. I was fortunate enough to meet the people who wrote that song and to spend some time with them talking about it. But I'm not going to reflect their thoughts. I'm going to just share my own reflections. And what I would like to do is just go through it line by line and just share something short about what I sense, what I think is going on as we listen to that song. It has four stanzas. The very first one starts in the now, the here and the now. How we feel when we read that, or how the writer feels when they pen that, right here, right now. It is the witness of the church. Present tense. Then the second and the third stanza is kind of the backstory. It kind of fills in for us all the detail as to why we can feel right now what we feel. And then the fourth and the last stanza comes back again from the backstory into the present with a view to the future. So, here we go. In Christ alone. In Christ alone, my hope is found. You see, hope is only to be found in Jesus Christ. This is a basic fact. The exclusivity of Christ is not a reflection upon other religions, but an acknowledgement of reality. Imagine a pandemic like Ebola, but much worse. Then there's one person who carries the antidote in his blood. He becomes the exclusive carrier of hope. You can get blood from many people, from good people, but you can only get the blood that will bring you healing of that from that one person. It is only his blood that can save you from certain death. A fact like that means that that person is exclusive. He is my light, my strength, my song. His word is a light on my path. His presence gives me strength. And His Spirit makes me sing. This cornerstone, this solid ground. Christ is the cornerstone. The stone that anchors the whole building. In fact, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. You see, God's wisdom was shown in this, that which was rejected was redeemed and became the cornerstone. Firm through the fiercest drought and storm, He holds firm through times of no water and too much water. Through drought and storms, both extremes, whatever the weather will bring, He will hold firm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. As you go up, you just see love. The higher you go, the more love you see. And as you go down, you see peace. As low as you can go, you can never go lower than the peace of God. Whether you go up or down, the love of, and peace of Christ you will find there. When fears are stilled, when striving cease, this is straining to both sides. whether it's fear or it's striving, fight or flight. As you stop striving and refuse to give in to fear, you become quiet and you find rest for your soul. You're at peace with God, with yourself and with others. You feel love for God, love for yourself, and love for others. My comforter, my all in all, Christ is the one who comforts me. Even if everyone else has forsaken me, He is the one that stands right by me, who takes my hand and speaks tenderly to me. Here in the love of Christ I stand. This is where I am standing strong. Here in the love of Christ I am standing, despite the strong winds of life that tries to take me down, because of the love that He has for me. You see, this is my present situation. Standing firm on the cornerstone, the solid ground, against everything life throws at me, droughts, storms, fears, strivings, I'm standing firm with my comforter by my side and covered in His love. The second stanza. This is the back story now. In Christ alone who took on flesh. You see, Christ alone is God made flesh. The incarnation. Miracle of miracles. The Creator becomes part of His own creation. Fullness of God in helpless babe. He was the fullness of God. 100% God, no less than God the Father, and 100% human, born as a helpless baby. He who made everything became dependent on what He had made. This gift of love and righteousness. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God gave a gift of love. And God gave the gift of His righteousness. It is there for me to receive. It is not something I have to earn. In fact, I can never earn it. His righteousness is a gift. Scorned by the ones He came to save. In the Gospel of John, we read this. He says, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet, to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." Till on that cross, as Jesus died. Jesus did die on that cross. Don't let anyone tell you different. Listen to the witness of the soldier who pierced Him in His side, and blood and water flowed. That is, by the way, why they didn't break His legs, because He was already dead. And a Roman soldier knew when someone was alive, when someone was dead. The wrath of God was satisfied. The prophet Isaiah tells us. He says, "Surely He took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered Him punished by God, stricken by Him and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. For every sin on Him was laid. Isaiah says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Here, in the death of Christ, I live. You see, death to Him meant life to me. That's the great exchange. When He gives His life, I gain life. It was God Himself who became flesh. The Creator loved His creation so much that He became part of creation, took all their sin and pain upon Himself, and gave His life so that they may have life. Easter Sunday is yes and amen to what God did on the cross for you and for me. The third stanza. There in the ground His body lay, buried on Good Friday, assigned a grave with the criminals, but laid in a rich man's tomb because Joseph of Arimathea went to ask Pilate for the body. Light of the world by darkness slain. Darkness thought it had triumphed. It thought it had victory. It thought it had Him in the grave. It had Him dead. But it was badly mistaken. When we try to put a face on the darkness that laid Him there, we might look at the Romans, or we think about the Jews who went to ask Pilate to crucify Him. But at the end of the day, what put Him on that cross was your sin and my sin. If we want a face for the darkness that placed Him there, all we have to do is look in the mirror. But then, bursting forth in glorious day, He was raised from the dead on the Sunday, the third day. As Gert always says, it was Friday, but Sunday was coming. Up from the grave, He rose again, because the grave could not hold Him. And as He stands in victory, in victory over sin and death, Christ, the triumphant one, Christ, the victorious one, only Christ, Christ alone. Sin's curse has lost its grip on me. The curse of sin has been broken. We are now able to live a sinless life, to live a life in the Spirit and not in the flesh. God told Cain, the firstborn son of Adam and Eve, He said, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." We can now do this because Christ has broken the curse. For I am His and He is mine. I am now in a covenant relationship with Christ, in a love relationship with Him, where I am His and He is mine. Bought with the precious blood of Christ. We, all of us, were slaves to sin. Standing on the auction block like a slave going to the highest bidder, to anger, jealousy, lust, hatred, addiction, greed. But Christ stepped in and bought us with His own blood. so we can become slaves of righteousness. The fourth stanza. Now we're pulling back to present time. How do I feel now? What is my situation now? No guilt in life, no fear in death. The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. This is the power of Christ in me. You see, the Spirit of Christ dwells in me. His power flows through me. From life's first cry to final breath. If you've ever been at the birth of a baby, you know that one of the first things that happens is the baby gets a slap on the bottom. Opens up the lungs, right? And you hear that cry. That's the first cry. And if you've ever been at the deathbed of someone, you know when the final breath comes. From that first cry to that final breath, it's the whole of life. Totality of our life as human beings. During that totality of our lives, in the whole of our lives, Jesus commands my destiny. He is in control of my life and everything that happens to me. Nothing can happen that He has not allowed. And if He has allowed it, He will walk with me through it. Sometimes when we go through difficult times in our lives, it feels to us that we would do it differently if we were God. But in His wisdom and in His compassion that He has for us, He walks with us in a way that is best for you and for me. He commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man. See, hell has no power over me if I'm in Christ, because He has overcome. No scheme of man has power over me when I'm in Christ. Can ever pluck me from His hand? Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. The Apostle Paul writes this. He says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is in this Christ and who we stand. And nothing can separate us from His love. That is the gospel. That is the good news. And then we look to tomorrow. This is my situation today. Till He returns or calls me home. The second coming of Christ, the return of the King. Whatever happens first, whether He comes first or whether He calls me home and I pass away first, whichever happens. Until that time, I'm standing in Christ and in Christ alone. Here, in the power of Christ, I'll stand. I have made my decision. I have placed my hope in Christ alone. And I will take my stand in His power. I'm going to conclude with Paul writing to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 11. It says, "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." You see, that Spirit who dwells in us is the guarantee. It's the deposit that God has put in us. So that one day, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will raise us from the dead. So our hope for the future is in Christ. And in Christ alone. Let us pray. Father God, we are so thankful that you loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son to become a human being like us. And then to take our sin and our shame upon Him and to die for us on the cross. And as your wrath was satisfied, we have been set free. Free from sin and death. Free from fear. Free from anger and lust and greed and everything else that tries to control us. Because we are in Christ. We thank you for what you've done. I pray, Lord, that that would sink deep, deep, deep into our hearts. That we will stand in your love. And we will stand in your power until that day when you come or when you call us home. May you be glorified in us, Lord. May you be glorified through us. May you be glorified in all the earth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.